Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers, locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
And now, Rick Ballew takes you into the night on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, and away we are. Beautiful day and night right here in Jacksonville. Couldn't believe the temperature driving in this evening. High 70s. Are you kidding me? Spending hours today living on the Golf Channel, getting all the Bethpage Black in me. Watching Rory talk today, watching the number one overall ranked golfer in the world, Dustin Johnson, meet the media today. Can he win a second major? Tiger Woods spoke today, and all they talk about is how cold it's going to be in upstate New York. Bethpage Black, where the temperatures, who knows, could be in the high 40s, 50s. We shall see. Some baseball tonight, both there in Gotham, next door in Philadelphia, and Boston as well. Cold temperatures, but not here along the First Coast. An absolutely magnificent day. Glad you're with us. We push things back 1 hour on Tuesday. That is because of the ladies of Helmets and Heels. My name is Rick Ballew. We go tonight from right now, 8 o'clock, all the way up until 10. Denny Thompson, James Coleman will take over at that particular time, but we are absolutely jam-packed. What's on tap tonight? Game 3. Eastern Conference Finals. Boston up 2-0. Commanding lead over the Carolina Hurricanes. Looks like Carolina's going to switch netminders for this game tonight at home. A must for Carolina if they want to get back into it. The NBA playoffs. The Western Conference Finals. The Curry brothers at it tonight. This at Oracle in Oakland, Golden State, Portland, the Warriors without Kevin Durant, the Warriors without Boogie, and of course, Cousins can't go, still favored by a touchdown and a hook. Keep you updated on that game. It begins in less than 1 hour. Also, the NBA draft lottery on tap tonight. I have plenty of comments on that. And of course, the headline is the PGA Championship moved to the month of May. That gets underway on Thursday. Some phenomenal pairings. The weather has done its part. It'll be very interesting to see where the scoring goes. Remember, in the last players, the last PGA Championship that obviously was a year ago, back in the month of June, Brooks Koepka won the event at 16 under par. Let's face it, the ball travels farther in the month of June than it does now in cooler temperatures in the month of May, particularly along the East Coast. But driving ability and things along those lines, they don't matter when you get to the PGA Championship. It comes down to hitting fairways. It comes down to spotting it on the green and rolling your putts. Once again, that'll be the difference in this year's event. And listening to Tiger Woods talk about it today, just really blown away by Tiger. I mean, it's almost like he's reborn, honestly. I mean, you could even be a Tiger Woods hater, and if you don't see it right now, how he has grown by leaps and bounds, he is beyond clever now. He's deep into thought. He respects the game so incredibly. I think that's one thing about Tiger Woods that we've never really appreciated. This guy is a golf historian. He has gone back. He has studied Sam Snead, Sarazen, Hogan, Jack, Arnold. He respects them all. And he's aware of the things that, in fact, they have done. He was talking today about 50 Masters that Arnold Palmer actually played in. 50 of them. You know, how many golfers on the PGA Tour would care about that? How many golfers on the PGA Tour would actually be aware of something like that? It's the new Tiger. Frankly, I kind of miss the old one just because he was a guy that would look at you in the media and frankly intimidate you. Don't bother asking me a stupid question like that. A little bit surly, a little bit of I'm going to make you feel uncomfortable because I am the greatest golfer on the planet and I'm only up here talking to you because I have to. That is the obligation that I have within the PGA Tour. But then the setbacks and the setbacks and the setbacks, and you see the way that he has grown, the way that he has matured, it really is almost a second Tiger Woods. And I think people gravitate to that. We are folks who forgive. We are folks who forget. And even those who despised him, for whatever reason it may be, whether you didn't like his act on the golf course or even if you were dismayed by some things that he was a part of off the golf course. Yeah, I sense that more and more people are coming towards Tiger Woods. The big risk for him, he hasn't played an event since the Masters. He's actually going now from major to major without playing a competitive round on the PGA Tour. Is that a risk-reward that will benefit him? Well, Las Vegas is telling us he's the favorite to win the 2019 PGA Championship. Or is this something he's going to have to evaluate again next year? Will he change his schedule around a little bit depending on how he performs, next April at Augusta and where the PGA Championships takes us? I have not looked ahead as to where the 2020 PGA Championship is, but whether it's East Coast, West Coast, anything on those lines, Midwest, will he perhaps elect to play another tournament in between those two majors? Pretty interesting. No doubt about it. All right, we got a lot of golf to get into tonight and the rest of the week. The NBA draft lottery, to me, is 110% stupidity. We see changes in sports year after year after year after year after year. There are a few things in sports that I still don't understand why we haven't seen them change for the better. And one of those is college football and a playoff being expanded even more than four teams. I had a lengthy conversation about that during Monday night's show. The NBA draft lottery does not work. Point blank. Pinballs, to me, is a disaster. Now, I understand why the protection is put in to the NBA draft lottery. The NBA is one game. And you can make this comparison to football, to baseball, and to hockey, where players quit openly. I mean, they just tank it. They go away. And it's the one sport where you could honestly throw out there, are these players tanking for a draft pick? I think it's next to impossible to do that in the NFL because contracts are not guaranteed. And if you're not going to play well, there's a good chance that you could be cut. Again, it's not guaranteed money. It is in the NBA. And there's always been feelings about, well, this team's laying down. This team's not playing hard. Coaches are fired because of players and their performance. Not only their performance, that's how coaches are fired from the get-go, but players can point a finger and a guy's gone. You look at some of the greatest players in the game. Magic Johnson, Paul Westhead, gone. Michael Jordan, Doug Collins, gone. Kobe was a coach killer. LeBron has been a coach killer. Hell, Frank Vogel's back now in L.A. The King, how's he going to now, break bread there after that reported riff that took place a few years back? That's the NBA. 13-man roster, five guys in the court, they'll quit. And I always hear about conspiracies and whether or not the fix is in. And I don't believe it. I read Fix, the great Boston College scandal, the book that was written an awful lot about Leslie Visser, who the coming of lady broadcasters everywhere, a pioneer in the field. You know, the first ever sideline reporter from a female perspective, really cut her teeth with the Boston Globe and what she was able to do. And really her biggest break was uncovering the Boston College point-shaving scandal, the same one that Henry Hill was a part of. If you don't know who Henry Hill is in mob lore, just think of the movie Goodfellas, played by Roy Liotta, okay? And he talks about moving the cocaine in and out of Pittsburgh. Well, that's also where the main point spread man was who funneled the money to Boston College to three guys on the basketball team, one of which was Mike Mayock's roommate at BC, the now current general manager of the Oakland Raiders. But, you know, I didn't believe that even when it was going on. I was like, how can you really get to these players? That's one way of looking at a conspiracy. We've seen it at a couple of other places. It's another thing when you look at the draft lottery. Okay? The Patrick Ewing situation 25 years ago was really ugly. It was probably more than 25 years ago. It was in the early 80s. That really reeked of benefiting the NBA by putting the best possible player on the planet right there in New York. And it was a different game then. That was when kids went to school, stayed in school. You knew them. You recognized them. Zion Williams, you know, it was like going through a drive-thru. In his case, it's like taking an 18-wheeler through a drive-thru. But he spent a couple of semesters at Duke, and that's it. He's gone. He's out. You give me the number one pick. But I've always wondered about this. I remember the year that Boston was supposed to get Tim Duncan. They had all the pinballs and the ping pong balls. Didn't work out that way. What was it? Chauncey Billups, Ron Mercer. If memory serves me correct, Boston ended up with the third pick, and I think either the fifth or sixth pick in the first round. All of Boston was convinced Tim Duncan is coming. It's going to change things for the better. After the, you know, the devastation of Len Bias and then the sad news in the passing of Reggie Williams, Tim Duncan will fix that great organization. Didn't work out that way. Here we are 20 minutes away from the lottery. Three teams have 14%. The Knicks, the Cavs, the Suns. Others have a real opportunity, like the Bulls. Why am I 100% convinced right now, 20 minutes before this show even begins, as far as the NBA draft lottery, that the Knicks are getting Zion Williamson? I hope I'm wrong. Then again, I don't know if I hope I'm wrong. And I never sit on the middle of the fence. I don't like New York, but the Knicks are a friggin' joke. I mean, the Knicks make the Cavaliers, or excuse me, the Knicks make the Cleveland Browns look like a brilliant organization. You think times have been tough here in Jacksonville with the Jaguars? Can you imagine being a Knicks fan? Come back. I'm going to talk about that for a couple of minutes and the conspiracy that goes into it. But just imagine for one moment, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Zion Williamson all playing for the New York Knicks in 2019-2020. It absolutely could happen. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk about that. I'll also get into the PGA Championship. Very excited about this matchup. Some unbelievable pairings, and it's going to be an interesting golf course. Success there a few years ago, both with the Barclays. You can go back to the 2002 U.S. Open where scores were low, but again, that was a June event. It's colder here, and it's been pushed up a month into the middle part of May. How is that going to affect things, tee to green? We have all that to get into. I'll keep you updated on Bruins and Hurricanes. No score 1 minute into the opening period tonight, just barely underway from Raleigh, North Carolina. Glad you're with us. My name's Rick Ballew. We go into the night each and every night right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Tuukka Rask playing like the best goalie in the world right now. Just made a kick save and a beauty, shorthanded with the Bruins. Plenty of opportunities for Carolina, but stonewalled by Tuukka. That's Tuukka with two U's and two K's. It'll be tough to win that game tonight. You figure Carolina's going to win at least one in this series. We'll see. All right, we got some Jags to get into in a little bit. Hayes Carline with a great piece today on Telvin Smith. Got me thinking. I'm still, you know, in the camp that he's going to wake up one day with a change of heart. And a lot of that opinion is based on the fact that we have no idea what's going on. We just don't know. He dropped another quote today on social media. He really is. He's like Winston Churchill now. I think Telvin Smith, I no longer think feared linebacker. I think Winston Churchill. I think Socrates. He's a great poet. He's a great quote. So I guess that's what we've come to learn and come to expect now from Telvin, is that he's going to drop quotes on us on a weekly basis. We'll get to this a little bit later on. I want to begin with some other things. First of all, what a sad week. Doris Day passed. Harold Letterman. Okay, Jim, got a 10-9, 10-9, 9-10, 10-9. Lennox Lewis, 4-1. I mean, he was the greatest. Harold Letterman. Ringside HBO more than 25 years into your living room or bar room for 2.5 decades at HBO. Jim Lampley, and, you know, you look at Larry Merchant no longer there, George Foreman no longer there. Of course, that operation has gone down, but Harold Letterman was phenomenal ringside. Loved the sport of boxing. I had a chance to meet him a few times when I went to Vegas for big prize fights, and I'd get him on every once in a while. He was a former boxing judge who devoted his life to the game. And it's great about boxing that there are some select names that are just isolated, historically speaking. Media members, too. Burt Sugar certainly falls into that category. The late Burt Sugar, I used to have on all the time. But Harold Letterman, that hurt my heart. And today it's Tim Conway. And Tim Conway, to me, at the age of 85, you know, it was like my first remembering, like, the first movies that I was, like, ever allowed to go to the movie theater to see. You know, I went to go see Gus about a mule that kicked field goals. You ever see Gus, LeVay? Did that run out of printing before your lifetime?
I don't even know that I've ever heard of that movie, to be honest with you.
I think it was a Disney production.
Was it like a cartoon?
No, it was an actual film. But Tim Conway was in that. Tim Conway was in the Shaggy D.A. He was in, like, Cannonball Run 2. He was in, like, the Apple Dumpling Gang, or, you know. And then, of course, you remember him from Carol Burnett. And, you know, he was a phenomenal comic. Dorf on Golf was hilarious. Just Tim Conway, to me, was kind of a smaller man, kind of round. The round head, the round face, small guy, but, you know, hysterical. And, I bet if I go back and outside of, like, maybe the Bad News Bears, I'm trying to remember, like, the first movies that I actually went in and saw in a movie theater. Tim Conway was in a bunch of those movies. You know, rated G Saturday afternoon movies. At the age of 85, I mean, folks my age and older certainly remember Tim Conway. The younger audience out there, you're probably not too familiar with him. But rest in peace, Tim. Very good at what you did. You made people laugh, and what a gift that is. That may be the greatest gift of all. Seriously. Outside of those who help, doctors, nurses, teachers, the greatest gift of life, in my opinion, is the ability to make someone else laugh. Because when you're making someone laugh, and when you yourself are laughing, for that exact moment of time, you're forgetting about everything else. And unfortunately, for a lot of us, when we spend time thinking about things, we think about problems. Some that we can fix, some that we cannot. Laughing gets you away from that. Tim Conway made me laugh. Rest in peace. Tell you what doesn't make me laugh. That's the NBA draft lottery. Just smells. Does. Thank God the NFL doesn't have an NFL draft lottery. Oh, can you imagine that? I mean, just think of the excitement that we just went through again. Record-setting numbers in Nashville. 3 networks picked it up. 600,000 live at the event. We have a huge deal downtown at the stadium every year. Heck, I came on from 10 to midnight to review the end of the first round, talk about the Jaguars' first-round pick, Josh Allen, and grabbed reaction all night from you. And unfortunately, when the Jags put up a 5-11 year, you get off on the NFL draft way before you should. But can you imagine for one moment if the NFL had a draft lottery like the NBA? It's time for the lottery to go away. And I explained in the first beginning part of the program tonight why I believe there still is a draft lottery. Because it's a lot easier to tank and give up in the NBA than it is in the NFL for numerous reasons. The number one being guaranteed contracts on the floor. It doesn't work that way out on the gridiron. So here we are, 6 minutes away from the NBA draft lottery. And I have my own feeling on this. I think the NBA wants New York to return to relevance. LA is squirming right now. Everyone's upset with Jeannie Buss. Kurt Rambis and his wife had, I guess, the full say, or really led to the full say, on the hiring of Frank Vogel, not Ty Lue. They brought in the king. It did not work. Is he going to be able to land Leonard? Probably not. Many believe that if Leonard returns home, he goes to the Clippers. Kyrie Irving going to go back and play there? Well, Stephen A. Smith said again today that's not going to happen. Stephen A. Smith also has been on record for a while saying that Durant is going to New York. And then if Irving goes to New York and they get Zion Williamson tonight, this is where I'm really torn. It's still New York. But I haven't been in a situation lately where I've been forced to dislike New York, because it's really turned into a laughable city as far as their sports teams. I mean, seriously, the Jets are a joke every year. The Giants won 2 Super Bowls with Tom Coughlin, but they got all sorts of problems. They're set to rebuild with a new quarterback once the Eli Manning situation is done. The Islanders hosted their first playoff game since 1988, hosted a series. And they were bounced out by Columbus Columbus knocked off, was it 4 straight? I'm trying to remember who beat, no, it was Carolina who knocked off the New York Islanders in 4 straight. The 4 straight by Columbus was against the top seed in your Tampa Bay Lightning. Rangers are a joke. The Mets are a joke. The entire organization is a joke, okay? They're wasting at bats at the AAA level on Tim Tebow, who's not even hitting at the Mendoza line. He's hitting under 200. And instead of bringing your prospects through and up and getting better, they continue to waste at bats on him. Valuable at bats, okay? For a guy that's never going to make it. That organization's a joke. The New York Yankees is still relevant, but half the team's on the disabled list. So that gets you to the Knicks. All right, the Brooklyn Nets are there. They're better than the New York Knicks. When are the last time the New York Knicks were a part of anything? They had some great runs with Patrick Ewing. Those are some very good teams with Jeff Van Gundy. I'm torn. Do I want New York to be the pulse of the NBA again? And imagine the star power of Zion, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving. And to me, that has all the makeup and could end up being their own little edition of like the Bad Boys of Detroit in the 90s. Now, they're not as aggressive and belligerent the way that those Detroit Pistons were, but I think there'd be a reason for a lot of hatred across the league, a lot of jealousy across the league. And for the record, I love Kevin Durant, and I love Zion Williamson. Kyrie, I'm fully ready to turn on because he's going to be the ultimate heel after what he ended up doing in Boston. So we'll see. Again, we're 4 minutes away now from this. If there's one conspiracy that I do believe in all of sports, and I try to be a realist in this because I just don't think it comes into play, but if there's any hedge in anything that we see sports-wise, it's right here with these ping pong balls. And if New York gets it tonight, Lord have mercy. We'll see. Cleveland and Phoenix as well, both up there at 14% overall with the New York Knicks, with the top overall opportunity to get Zion Williamson. So we'll see what ends up happening. I think this has never really worked. And this is about as hyped up as any NBA draft lottery that I can ever remember. You know, honestly, I wasn't alive for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I remember Larry Bird getting drafted, going back to school. The rules were different then. Then Magic Johnson coming out after his sophomore year when Michigan State knocked off Indiana State. I'm a little bit, one-sided when it comes to Patrick Ewing, because Patrick Ewing played basketball in the city of Boston for Cambridge in Latin High School, coached by Mike Jarvis, who went on to coach St. John's, and it was a phenomenal story. He came into my high school gym as about a 7-footer as a freshman. It was just phenomenal. And for those who followed the story, Patrick Ewing could not speak the English language. Georgetown did a wonderful job with him. And I loved him at Georgetown. You know, growing up in Boston, even though it was in D.C., Georgetown was my favorite college basketball school. I just loved the Big East. And I loved Patrick Ewing. And in my opinion, he was the biggest player out of college to ever enter the NBA draft. Again, I wasn't around for Lou Alcindor. Now, LeBron was the biggest to ever enter from high school. I think you can make the case tonight, and I know it's only the lottery tonight, it's not the draft, but Zion Williamson will end up being the most hyped ever one-and-done player in the NBA draft. And that's saying a lot. Because you can look at Carmelo Anthony. I mean, you can look at certainly all the players who have come out of Kentucky. You can look at Kevin Durant and what he did at Texas. I mean, there's a lot of players that, I mean, this is a six-pack argument. But I just think that there's so much to like about Zion. Can you imagine what he must be going through right now? Because nothing against Cleveland. Well, then again, screw that. It's Cleveland. You want to go play basketball in Cleveland? With no King there? Phoenix is okay. You know, it's dry. It's hot. I love my visits to Cleveland. But New York. Can you imagine Zion Williamson? And just imagine the amount of money that he is going to make right now in that state if he goes there. Because New York, this is an all-time low for superstars in New York City. Who's their superstar right now in baseball? Don't tell me Mike Stanton. They booed him after he struck out twice in his first game a year ago. Don't tell me Aaron Judge, okay? Now, who is it? Is it Barkley in football? Is it going to be Sam Darnold in football? It's no one in hockey. I mean, the days of Derek Jeter are gone. The days of Mark Messier are gone. You know, the days of Lawrence Taylor are gone. Even Eli Manning winning two Super Bowls are gone. This is New York that every sport has at least two teams. You have two football teams, two basketball teams, two hockey teams, and two baseball teams. And they do not have star power in that city. All of a sudden, you could wake up in 6 weeks and have Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Zion Williamson. So again, I'm torn. Do I want that? Do I want New York returning to relevance? And then we can all play the rule, the role of rooting against them. Or do I want to see Cleveland get it tonight or Arizona get it tonight? What about Chicago? They got a 12.5%. You know what? I spent 7 years in Chicago. What a wonderful city. And those are some great people. Actually, that's where I'd like to see him go. I'd like to see Zion Williamson go to Chicago. That would be cool. You'd be a monster there. Not as big as New York, not as big as L.A., but pretty close. All right, we got much more to do tonight. I will grab some reaction to that. I haven't even given you the phone number yet. 641-1010. That's the Twitter line as well. The text line, 641-1010. And Twitter, Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL. Keep you updated on the NBA draft lottery. I'm sure they're going to sandbag this for probably a half hour. So let's hit the break now at 8:32. And, you know, I imagine we probably won't find out till probably 8:45 or so. That's just the way that it's going to go. They're going to try to, you know, milk this for everything that it's worth. But we'll come back. We'll do that. We'll grab some reaction. Tell me what you want. Do you want New York getting back involved the way that it could be if it happens here with the lottery and then Durant and Irving do follow? Or would you just as soon see them stay where they're at? So we'll come back. We'll get into that. Got much more to do tonight as well on the PGA Championship. No score, Boston and Carolina. 9 minutes to go, first period as well. At 9 o'clock tonight, game one in the Western Conference Finals between Portland and Golden State. That'll tip off in Oakland. Tip time tonight is at 9 o'clock.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, tonight's show brought to you by StreamSong. The Family Cup is something you can sign up for right now. That'll be during Father's Day weekend. All right, they want the entire family out there to go for the Family Cup. Get a chance to play on two of their great golf courses. StreamSong is just phenomenal. I've been there 3 times. I'm going to go again this summer. It is worth the getaway out in Lakeland. And just go to StreamSongResort.com. What they have on tap for you is just out of this world. A couple of golf courses, tremendous hotel. Of course, you can ride in the cart because they do have caddies. But you could do that. They have some cool things as well, putting contests, kind of a landing contest on like a movable green that they put in one of the lakes. Phenomenal restaurants. Again, it's great for the entire family. You know, spa, pools, restaurants. They have a nice rooftop bar where you can sit out there and smoke cigars. I love it. I'm going back again. Always a lot of fun, but I want you to enjoy it as well. The Quest for the Family Cup at StreamSong, the 14th through the 16th. It's the Floating Green Target Competition. That's what it is. So, not pricey either. Very reasonable. Go to StreamSongResort.com. You'll love it. I mean, the blue, the black, the red, the three courses are just phenomenal. All right, the Dog and Pony Show is going on. They're introducing 97 different people. Every time I look up here, I'm trying to figure out what the heck's going on. They're introducing Alonzo Mourning. They're introducing Patrick Keough. They're introducing everyone. So we'll keep you updated on that as far as the NBA draft lottery. It's on the TV behind me. LeVay, if starts happening, let me know what's
up. I'll keep you posted on the action.
Let me know what's up with that. Instead, I got the hockey game on in front of me here. No score, 5 minutes to go. First period, Boston and in Carolina. I guess I can kind of turn around and do it. I'm rangy enough to be able to pull that off. Hey, the 101st PGA Championship is Thursday. All right? The 100 top-ranked golfers in the world are going to be there. Actually, it's only 99 now because Justin Thomas pulled out with a wrist injury. But this is an event where I think Mother Nature plays such a huge factor. And if you go back to the 2002 United States Open at Bethpage Black, you remember the controversy that was there, and this was really one of the initial sparks that kind of ignited the rivalry between Tiger and Sergio. When Sergio was on the course with many other golfers, the rain was coming down. They felt as though it should have been suspended for the time being. Sergio said once the round was over that if Tiger was actually on the course, he was not, his day was done, that play would have been suspended. Of course, Tiger went on to win the 2002 United States Open. And remember, that event was played in June, not in May, where this year's PGA Championship is going to be performed beginning Thursday for the first time, I think, since 1949. The PGA Championship is going to be played in this particular month. But weather's going to be huge. Listening to each and every golfer today talk about the way that this course is set up. Despite all of the rain that the course has had, it's not as firm as they thought it would be, partially because of the brutal winter. The ground is still hard. So how is that going to affect the putting? I don't know much about the chorus at Bethpage Black, but listening to Dustin Johnson today, listening to Rory McIlroy today, not as many slopes on the green as perhaps some other courses at either a PGA Championship or United States Open. You know, Rory McIlroy's won this event twice. Rory McIlroy, an opportunity to certainly win it beginning on Thursday. It's really incredible at such a young age what he would be able to do if he was, in fact, a winner. He would become a three-time winner of this event. And listen to the names who have won three PGA championships. Hagen, Snead, Sarazen, Nicklaus, and Woods. That's it. Rory McIlroy would already put himself in that category after just turning the age of 30. You know, Ricky Fowler's a huge story. Ricky Fowler keeps on finishing second or third in about one or two majors, it seems like, yearly. Top tens are almost an automatic for him. Not in every event, but out of one of the four majors during the calendar year. He continues to be the greatest player on the planet who has never won a major. And he's now 30. You know, you think of Ricky Fowler, you think of him as the kid. You know, he's like one of those kids who's not supposed to ever get older than the age of 21. He's 30 now. He's one of the most likable guys on the PGA Tour. Fans adore him. I mean, it's time, isn't it? What about Dustin Johnson? He's the number one ranked golfer in the world. I believe he's got 20 PGA Tour wins, so he's headed towards a Hall of Fame career, but he's got one major. That's not enough for me. When you're the greatest golfer on the planet and when you're the number one man according to the world rankings, isn't it time that you win some majors? And it's been the flat stick that has always cost him. He made the great run a month ago at Augusta. We saw it. Tiger Woods was just able to maintain on that back nine. What about Brooks Koepka? He won it a year ago. 16 under. He lost all that weight, 30 pounds. A ridiculous move he did to lose that weight for a magazine shoot. I mean, you talk about a boneheaded decision. For all the reasons to lose weight, he did it for that. One of the greatest golfers on the planet. But again, only five PGA Tour victories. What, three of majors? How does that work? I mean, that's pretty bizarre. He doesn't win the normal event on the PGA Tour. And I was looking at the PGA Tour. And you know what? This kind of goes through peaks and valleys, in my opinion. I'm a huge golf fan. But it goes through some lulls. It really does. And, you know, I'll be the first to admit that when football season gets here, I kind of give golf up. I hate to say it that way, but it's true. Okay, I just, you know, they changed the season around. It used to be with the Mercedes Championship, and it would go through really the PGA Championship, which ended up becoming really the last major event. And I always said, whether it was the President's Cup or the Ryder's Cup, I just felt like I couldn't give it my undivided attention because the college game and the pro game, and you have the pennant races in baseball and everything else that's going on, that something has to take a back seat. And in that case, it would always be golf. But this year, it's been, you know, a very intriguing year where I thought the West Coast swing was great. I thought the Florida swing was great. The Players was here too early. I still despise it, but nonetheless, it made for an exciting weekend, and when I did it with David Lamb, we did the hole-by-hole coverage on Saturday and Sunday. David and I agree it was the best event we had ever covered. It was that exciting, even though it almost became video golf. They were scoring so low. Wasn't a fan of that. Now, look at the last 5 weeks. Have you checked who has won the last five events on the PGA Tour? Okay, go back to the week before the Masters out at the Texas Open. Corey Connors won it. Then Tiger wins the Masters. Then you get to the Heritage. CT Pan wins the Heritage. Out at Zurich in New Orleans, all right, John Rahm win that. He's an up-and-coming guy. 2 weeks ago at the Wells Fargo in beautiful Charlotte, where Jim Furyk told me years ago, I asked what course can compete with the three holes at the Players. What is the most difficult golf course? And, you know, 16's not difficult. It's a scoring hole here. You can have an eagle. You can certainly score with a birdie. But the 16, 17, and 18, 17 is all about intimidation. 18 is flat out scary with the water. He said Charlotte. Max Homa won the event. Last week at the Byron Nelson, Sung Kang won. So for those of you scoring at home, outside of the Masters, the last five winners in the last 5 weeks on the PGA Tour, I'm not talking about the Web.com Tour. I'm talking about the PGA Tour, are Sun Kang, Max Homa, or Homa, I don't even know, CT Pan, John Rahm, and Corey Connors. I don't think that's especially good for the game. Noticeably absent over these last 4 weeks, Tiger Woods didn't even play in an event. So anyway, just something else to consider as we get ready for this coming up on Thursday. I'll have plenty of coverage tomorrow night as well as Thursday and Friday night. All right, I'm looking over my head. What in the heck is going on here?
Yeah.
This dog and pony show. LeVay, what do you have for me?
Well, yeah, picks 5 through 14 are officially set. They are set to do picks 1 through 4 right now, actually, as we speak.
All right, we have a minute and a half here before the break. The suspense is killing me. You can really, I mean, you can cut it with a knife. This is good stuff.
All right, picks 3 and 4 have been revealed just now. Knicks in 3rd and Lakers with the 4th pick.
The Knicks are 3rd and who now?
Knicks at 3rd, Lakers in 4th spot right now. Yeah, LA, that's the big take right now is that they moved all the way up and they are not where a lot of people expected them to be.
All right, does that leave Phoenix and Cleveland or did they come off earlier?
Phoenix and Cleveland have already come off in picks 5 through 14.
They have. So that means the three teams who are ranked the highest at 14% will not end up going number one. What about the Bulls? Are they still there?
Yeah, no, the Bulls have already, I forget which pick, but they were also in 5 through 14.
All right. Well, there you go. So much for my conspiracy theory about Zion and the New York Knicks. I am wrong. And in a way, I'm okay with it. We'll see if they still get Kevin Durant and if they still get Kyrie Irving, but they are not going to get Zion Williamson. All right, New Orleans is going to get the overall number one pick. Zion Williamson will be playing for the New Orleans Pelicans. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about that in hour number two. We'll also get to the Jags, the very latest on Telvin Smith. Hayes Carline wrote a good piece today, which you can read. Just go to 1010XL.com. And I want to get to some of your feedback on what I threw out there about the Knicks. And as well, a little bit on the PGA Championship, getting a lot of feedback tonight on our text line. You can hit me up by going to 641-1010. You can always as well do it on Twitter. That's Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL. Hour number two of Rick Ballou coming up next.
Into the Night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Zion Williamson, the expected-to-be top overall pick. Looks like he is heading to New Orleans. Good food. Man, it's nasty, though. Oh, is it nasty there? And I think that, you know, the people that I... Tim Brando, for one, raves about it, even though he's in Shreveport. But, you know, I think the locals, they don't go anywhere near Bourbon Street. It's such a cesspool. It really is. It's a great time. For those who have been, it's a phenomenal time. I think it's a better time when you're in your 20s. And I went, what, I think it was 2 years ago, the Jags had a game out there. It was the first time that I had been back to New Orleans since Katrina. And, you know, I'll be honest, it was still filthy. But I went so many times when I was a youngster, whether it was, you know, Mardi Gras or Sugar Bowls, Heck, I went out there for Florida State Tulane games. Can you believe Florida State traveled to Tulane? They did. I would stay there when they played in Baton Rouge. Super Bowls. First Super Bowl I went to was 96. Patriots and Packers right there. It's a great place for about 48 hours. I really would like to know what Zion Williamson is thinking right now. And what does this do for Anthony Davis? What does this do for this franchise? How did this happen? So much for the conspiracy and people who believe that the fix is in. And I told you in the very first hour that I had this premonition that the Knicks were going to come out of this tonight with a number one overall pick. Didn't work out that way. I haven't even seen the list yet. Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah, I've got the whole entire 1 through 14 right here. What do you want?
I don't know. I can't find it anywhere here online. Yeah, just what do you, give me the top five.
I got you right here. So at number five is the Cavs. Number four, the L.A. Lakers. Number three, the Knicks. Number two, the Memphis Grizzlies. And the top spot, like you mentioned, the New Orleans Pelicans.
All right, the Pelicans. So, you know, the Knicks are going to need a good player. You know, they could maybe get R.J. Barrett. They could maybe get Darius Garland. They could maybe get DeAndre Hunter. Every mock draft that I have looked at, and trust me, I don't spend nearly the amount of time in the NBA mock draft as I do as the national, the NFL mock draft. But, you know, Ja Morant is supposed to be the guy going right after Zion Williamson. But to give it to New Orleans and Memphis, 1 and 2. If there was ever a way to say, shut up to all of you people who believe that the fix is in, man, did they just prove it. Again, you had New Orleans and Memphis. I want to look this up because I had it here earlier today. The percentage that they were actually going to be able to get the top overall selection. Let's see. I got it right here. Just give me 1 second. I got so much material here. I'm always putting down material. All right. The Knicks, Cavs, and Suns were 14%. The Bulls were 12.5%. The Hawks, 10.5%. They had a 6% chance of getting it. 6%. So I don't know how it works. I'm guessing that they put, what, 100 balls in there? Is that how it works, LeVay?
It's more than that, yeah.
Is it? Because, you know, you got 14 apiece for New York, Cleveland, and Phoenix. Then you go 12.5, 10.5, 9, 6, 6, 6, 3, 2, 1, 1, 1. I don't know. I'm guessing if you add all that up, maybe it was 100. I'd have to do the math.
Somewhere in that area.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm assuming there's 100 balls in there. And you had a chance of 6%, 6 balls out of 100 of your particular franchise getting the top overall selection. And it just happened. It's kind of crazy. You say the Lakers ended up being third or fourth?
They ended up being the fourth spot.
Okay, they had a 2% chance. And they ended up being number two. The Grizzlies, oh, by the way, also had a 6% chance. So the franchises who ended up 1 and 2 in this draft ended up with 6% of getting the number one pick. There you have it. Wonder what this is going to do for the game. I can tell you right off the gate, you never feel bad for Zion Williamson. He made himself billions or millions, and who knows, maybe billions when it's all said and done, the day his shoe exploded. Because I still believe that Nike's going to have to pay him much more than he's worth just to solidify that deal. But as far as the marketing for Zion Williamson, I think he'll have a major national appeal, but he's not going to be able to make the dollars in New Orleans. It's just not going to happen there compared to New York. I mean, wow, that just cost him millions upon millions upon millions. Now, he's going to get paid as a top overall player in the NBA. He's going to get an amazing shoe contract. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the largest shoe contract that we've ever seen for an incoming player. And he's going to get quite a few endorsement deals. But the endorsement deals will pale in comparison to what he would have made if he would have ended up going to New York with the top overall pick. So there you have it. The selection is in. The NBA draft lottery is over. Now we will get ready for game one tonight, Western Conference Finals. This is in Oakland, where, of course, Golden State is a big favorite in this game. They actually started today. A little bit of money came in today on Portland. It's down now to 7.5. The total is at 221. I don't play anymore. If I did, though, I would have played this over. I think this is going to end up being like a 120-115 type of game. I mean, I think this is going way over 221 tonight. That would have been my play. We'll see. Damian Leonard, Steph Curry, of course, in this basketball game tonight. You will not have Kevin Durant. He is expected to be out until at least the third game. Boogie Cousins not going as well. All right, a couple of other things I want to discuss. Back in the world of golf, as I always are looking at things from a gaming perspective, and the Philly Godfather will join me tomorrow night to talk about some plays that he recommends or which way that he is going. And again, I mean, the Tiger Woods play 8-1. Do you grind it out for that amount of payback? That's not a big payday. You're better off looking for a guy that you believe can make a run. A guy like a Paul Casey at 50-1. Okay, a guy like a Billy Horschel at 125-1. A guy like a Kevin Kisner who won on the PGA Tour, I think, the week before the Players, 80-1. Webb Simpson, two years ago, the Players champion, 66-1. Okay, that's what it's all about. That is where you really make your money. Who are you going to pick? You know, Liu Yustazen, Henrik Stenson. That would be my advice. Instead of just choosing the two or three highest ranked guys, now, you know, you still have a chance there. You're just not going to get nearly as much on your return if you grab one of the, you know, top five ranked golfers in the world. I did find this, though, and I got to chalk it up as just throwing away money. And I like to talk gambling quite a bit, but I always try to be cautious about this and say, you know, don't do it if you don't have the money. Just don't, because you're going to build yourself a deeper ditch. It's so hard to win when it comes to gambling in anything, okay? It's just fact. And one of the reasons for that is that it's twofold. When you lose when you're gambling, you try to recover your losses. That is why in the NFL, the Sunday night game is always the most bet upon game of the week, even more than Monday. Because I think people wake up on Monday, they go to work, and they realize that they just took an absolute bath, and you might as well just pay out, and reality sets in. Where on Sunday, you may be losing the 1 o'clock game and the 4 o'clock game, and who knows, you may have had a bad college football Saturday. And then you try to make everything up on that Sunday night game. That's why it's always the most bet-on game. The other side of it is you win. Well, of course, if you win, you're going to keep betting, right? I mean, you're winning. Everything you touch is gold. And here's this guy, James Aduki, okay? He won $1.9 million on Tiger Woods to win the Masters. He got the bet in early. I think he laid down $85,000 at 14-1 or whatever it was. He turned it into $1.9 million. Either 1.9 or 1.4. I don't remember what the overall bet was. I'm estimating here. Anyway, he got huge return. He has now laid down $100,000 that Tiger Woods is going to win the Grand Slam. For those of you who do not know what the Grand Slam is, that is winning all four majors in 1 year. He would have to win the PGA Championship, this week. He would have to win the United States Open in Pebble Beach and win the British Open. Weighing down 100K. Now, he got 100-1 odds. Those are phenomenal odds. If Tiger Woods wins the next three majors, James Hadouki is going to win back $10 million. What I'm looking at is this. This is why these gamblers all dry up. I mean, to me, this is like taking $100,000 and just throwing it out the window. Tiger Woods is a great story. I'll be rooting for him. I'll be standing up, yelling at the TV, rooting for Tiger Woods beginning on Thursday. He's not going to win four straight majors. It doesn't happen that way. So, and you say, well, what's the big deal? If he won $1.9 million, what's the big deal? He's only given up one, you know, so he wins $1.8 million. He gets $100,000. It's a risk. Take it. Yeah, but, you know, if he's doing things like this, chances are he's also doing some other things. Now, hey, for all I know, this guy may be a winner. He may be betting on tonight's game. He may be betting on all these games. And maybe he's a professional sharp. Maybe he is. Maybe he's a true sharp. He's a true wise guy. They're out there. They're few and far between. Those who win and win consistently. But I think, you know, that's just really throwing away the money. You know, not a wise wager, in my particular opinion. All right, news and notes coming up, brought to you by the good folks over at truckcrashlaw.com. Jordan Spieth, an interesting wager, 40-1. Man, has he plummeted over the last couple of years. What went wrong with this guy? From clearly afar, it looks like it's all in his head. You know, this reminds me of an NBA player who you put on the line, you know he's not going to make a free throw. You know, this reminds me of a guy, you know, you bring him up in the bottom of the ninth inning, runners on scoring position, you know he's not going to deliver. And you got a 45-yard field goal to win it. There's no way this kid's going to make it. I don't know what has happened to Jordan Spieth. His body language has left him. His facial expressions. I mean, he's one of the loudest players on the golf course. He's always battling with his friend, his caddy, talking out loud, questioning, can't read putts. It seems like everything is falling apart for him. 40-1. I mean, when you have that amount of God-given ability, isn't that light going to go on again for him? Or is this going to end up being like a Chris DeMarco story? A David Duval story? Where it just completely got away from him. Now, those two golfers were older when it happened. Spieth got to be what? Late 20s, 30? I think he's right around the same age as Rory and Ricky. I'll have to look it up, but I want to say he's probably 29, 30 years of age. Really been awful. I mean, this guy's got a Hall of Fame career. He's got an opportunity to complete the Grand Slam. He's won the other three events. He's won a British. He's won a U.S. Open. He's won a green jacket. He hasn't won the PGA Championship. He's got that opportunity. So there's another guy that you can look at. Kuchar, local fan favorite. Maybe right up there next to Ricky Fowler, greatest player on the PGA Tour and a massive moneymaker. I mean, he's top 25, top 10, and boy, does he play. You know, talking about Tiger Woods taking the entire 5 weeks off from the Masters to the PGA Championship, seems like Matt Kuchar plays about every week. And is he bringing in cash? He's always top 25 or top 10. A lot of top fives. That's huge money on the tour. All right, let's get the news and notes. Truth Teller Style brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com. Underway second period as well between Boston and Carolina. A minute into the second period. No score there, and we're just barely underway in Oakland game, one of the Western Conference Finals. Golden State up 7-5 right now over Portland. Let's do news and notes, and we roll through a Tuesday night right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. We'll be right back.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
All right, 9:20. Again, we do things an hour later on Tuesday nights. Helmets and Heels. 6 to 8. Into the Night with Rick Ballew. 8 to 10. The Sports Day. Coming up in 40 minutes, beginning at 10 o'clock tonight. James Coleman. Denny Thompson. We have an update from Carolina. The Boston Bruins get a goal from Chris Wagner. The fourth line getting it done again. Boston up 1-0. 14 minutes to go. Period number two. Boston up 2-0 right now in that series. With it shifting now to Raleigh. We'll keep you updated on that game. Again, a lot of hockey left. 14 minutes to go in the second period. On the NBA tonight, Portland and Golden State. Portland up 13-9 right now. 6:20 to go in the first quarter there. So, as well, I'll keep you updated on that game. And Denny and James will do the same when they take over beginning at 10 o'clock. Wait a minute. We have an update from Carolina. Jake DeBrusk has lit the lamp for the Boston Bruins. 2-0, good guys. You kidding me? 2-0, Boston. 13 and a half minutes to go. Second period. All right, Truth Teller News and Notes each and every night brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com. They are the only law firm right here in the state of Florida where this is all they do. This is their expertise, and they're wonderful people. It's a sad story. Someone has been injured that you know, a colleague, a friend, maybe even a family member, seriously hurt on the road, could even have been fatal. And it happened because of a tractor trailer, a truck, an RV, a bus, something like that. Know the name truckcrashlaw.com. Okay, they're there for you, your rights. Instead of going to another lawyer, then they'll point you here, point you there. No, go to the only law firm in the state of Florida where this is what they do. This is their expertise, and it's why they're so good. They're statewide, but they're based right here in Jacksonville. TruckCrashLaw.com. I want to begin with some baseball today because Hank Aaron on this date, I'm trying to remember what year it was, probably the probably around 1970 or so, 69-70. That had happened, but he had his 3,000th career hit, and I think he retired in 77, so he ended up with 3,771, and so I'm guessing for Hank Aaron, he got his 3,000th hit, maybe in 69, 70, something like that. That'd be just a guess. But to put things into perspective, Hank Aaron had 755 home runs. You realize that if you took away the 755 home runs for Hammer and Hank, he still would have had more than 3,000 career hits. Third all-time with 3,771. What makes this even more incredible is that he's one of six players in the history of Major League Baseball to have more than 3,000 career hits and 500 career home runs. Listen to this company. Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, Eddie Murray, Alex Rodriguez, Albert Pujols, and Rafael Palmeiro. I think that would surprise a lot of people because, you know, the great Yankees, many of them hit more than 500 career home runs. Some people may not know that those great New York Yankees, those Hall of Famers, those legendary names, not one of them acquired 3,000 career hits. Babe Ruth, no. Lou Gehrig, no. Joe DiMaggio, nope. Mickey Mantle, uh-uh. Yogi Berra, Roger Maris, on and on and on and on. Now, A-Rod did, but he didn't play his entire career there. Of course, he played in Seattle, and he did as well in Texas. Derek Jeter did. But we're talking about home run hitters. A-Rod is on this list. But again, he did it primarily with different organizations. One other nugget that I love, and I think you'll appreciate it as well, just to respect Al Pujols. He's one of three players in the history of the game now to have more than 3,000 career hits, 500 career home runs with a batting average of over 300. Pujols enters tonight with 3,113 hits, 641 home runs, and a career batting average of 301. The only other two players who did that, historically speaking, Hank Aaron and Willie Mays. Phenomenal company. By the way, put Rafael Palmeiro in the Hall of Fame. Okay? I think the Veterans Committee will do it. He's already off the ballot. He's off the ballot. McGuire's off the ballot. Sosa, I think, will come off the ballot this year. I think in 2020, when you see the voting, because the only shoe-in first ballot Hall of Famer for the 2020 class is going to be Derek Jeter, I think you're going to see Clemens and Bonds get in 2020. And then after that, other guys where there have been steroid allegations, maybe even they flat out admitted it, I think they're going to start to get in as well. I think that'll include Alex Rodriguez when he's available. I think Manny Ramirez will eventually get in. I think the Veterans Committee's got to put Rafael Palmeiro in. I mean, the guy had 3,020 hits and 569 career home runs. 288 lifetime hitter. You can't continue to blame just select players when half the league or more was doing it. It's bad. Baseball needs to change that. Need to let them all in. Who's going to coach the Knicks next? A lot of folks making a run at Juwan Howard. Of course, Billy Donovan, Mike DeCourcy, put him out as the number one candidate. He used to work with Mike at the Sporting News. He joined us a couple of times during March Madness. Billy Donovan, 1 year remaining with his deal at OKC. There was some talk that maybe he would be fired at the end of the year. Boy, what a great job for Billy Donovan. Get out of the headache of the NBA. You made your money. Totally different deal. Why not grab a job like Michigan? So Mike White's on that list. I mean, there's four or five really good coaches. What about Rick Pitino? Would you take a chance on him? I mean, I don't think that Rick Pitino just woke up today and the feeling is he can't coach anymore. Okay. Maybe there are some issues. But that makes you wonder. LaVal Jordan is on the list. Bobby Hurley is actually on this list. Brad Stevens is a long shot on this list, the very latest out there as to who the new head coach at Michigan will end up being. The jury selection is underway in California for Kellen Winslow Jr. Wow, what an awful story this is, and what a major fall from grace from an incredibly talented tight end with the U. Had a good NFL career, not a great one, not nearly as good as his Hall of Fame father, but I always remember Winslow as part of that pipeline that came out of Miami when it was, what, Bubba Franks, and then Jeremy Shockey, and then Winslow Jr., and then Greg Olsen. I mean, he just kept pumping out tight ends after tight ends after tight ends. For those who have forgotten, he is being charged for raping two homeless women. There was also a situation where he, on a far lesser charge, that he was groping a 77-year-old woman in a hot tub and was apparently fondling himself as well. Just, I mean, totally bizarre. I mean, homeless women and a 77-year-old woman. I don't see it here. I mean, we'll let justice do its part. You know, the Aaron Hernandez situation, if you read the book by Jose Baez, and I did, and that's just Baez. I mean, Baez's book on Casey Anthony blamed it all on the dad. I read that book. You got out of there thinking that Casey Anthony should be, you know, honored as Mother of the Year, according to Jose Baez. Then you read I read the Jose Baez book on Aaron Hernandez. He had you believing that Aaron Hernandez did nothing wrong, that Aaron Hernandez was a victim of CTE. And the, you know, they investigated it. The autopsy, the brain showed that it was just ripped apart. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google a normal brain and Google the Aaron Hernandez brain. And you'll see actual video proof of CTE. Well, not knowing anything at all about what's going on, I gotta believe that the defense is going to be looking at something along these lines. If there is physical evidence of rape, they are going to play the role that Kellen Winslow Jr. has scrambled eggs for brains in CTE. That's just a guess. Maybe dead wrong. But I wouldn't be surprised if you see that that is the direction that his defense goes. Again, jury selection underway. Whatever happened to jury TV? Whatever happened to court TV and all that stuff? Is it gone?
For the most part, yeah.
I got 7,000 channels to choose from.
A lot of it's on, like, the local channels. You'll still see, like, Judge Judy and all those other People's Court, Divorce Court, all that. It's just on, like, the local channels.
Who was the guy, like, Vinny P or Vinny Pazzi? Not the old boxer.
I don't
boxer.
Know about that one.
That was Vinny Inferno. He used to get all bloody when he would fight Marvelous Marvin Hagler. Vinny something. Always wear the pink shirt. And then Nancy Grace would come in and grab the gavel. Grace would announce that she's the executioner. She's the judge and the jury. Nancy Grace, it didn't matter. If you were a man, you were freaking guilty. It didn't matter what the song, like when the runaway bride happened over here in Georgia, Nancy Grace had that guy behind bars for life. Meanwhile, she's on a Greyhound bus with another guy somewhere. Nancy Grace. Here's the story. It's a guy and it's a girl. It's the guy's fault. Put him in jail. Bam! Down goes the gavel. Whatever happened to court TV? I miss it. I would definitely be following Kellen Winslow Jr. This would be interesting for me. Sadly, we're not going to get that opportunity. All right, Frank Gore, I want to wrap it up with him because I kind of, you know, brought up the bad for a member of the U. How about one of the greats with the U? 36 years of age today for Frank Gore. He was the number one back before he tore both ACLs. Ahead of Clinton Portis and Willis McGahee. Think of that backfield. I mean, it's scary. Najee Davenport, the fullback. Just mentioned Shockey and Winslow, the tight ends. You had Santana Moss, Andre Johnson, and Reggie Wayne as your wide receivers. What? Frank Gore, 36 today, fourth all-time in rushing. 14,748 yards. I think he will go down as, in my opinion, next to Curtis Martin and Fred Taylor, as three of the most underrated tailbacks of the modern day era. Underrated. Curtis Martin never got the due. Fred Taylor never got the due. Frank Gore is still getting it done at the age of 36. Pretty impressive. There you go. Truth Teller News and Notes. Brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. Oh, man, what a stable of backs there for the U. Just frightening. Willis McGahee was such a great college back. Or he broke his knee in that phantom call that gave Ohio State a national championship, which is bizarre. That was the latest flag I've ever seen in the history of college football. When I return, I'm actually going to spend a minute on a former Ohio State coach, a former Florida coach. That's Urban Meyer. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Do want to remind you that truckcrashlaw.com, law firm based right here in Jacksonville, the only one in the state who does it this way. Okay? This is their expertise. If someone has been injured out on the road because of a truck, tractor trailer, anything along those lines, RV or a bus, take down the name truckcrashlaw.com.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I'm checking the text line. Let's see here. Some guys tell me I need to give props to Chris Sale tonight. 17 strikeouts for Chris Sale. Only allowed 3 hits. Here's the problem. Only went 7 innings. Bullpen just gave up the lead. They're losing 4-3 to Colorado. Seven innings, three hits, two runs, a lot of home run. 108 pitches, but he struck out 17. That is a very good effort for Chris Sale. So he's at least finding his way back. But Arenado got him. I got this on tape. I'll watch it later. All right, hey, before we get to this, we've got a giveaway here. Let's take caller number 4-641-1010. We have a family four-pack for Walk-Off Charities, the big home run hitting contest coming up on May 24th. I've been in this home run contest the last couple of years. It's for Walk-Off Charities. It's a tremendous event, raising money here for the underprivileged in the sport of baseball, headed up by Frangie, and it's his charity. And it's very well received. But it's a fun time to go out there. There's plenty of food out there, drinks out there. It's a real good event. And plenty of restaurants are there for it. And we're giving away four tickets right now. We'll take caller number 4-641-1010 if you would like to go. That is coming up in a couple of Fridays. That'll be on May 24th. So, again, be caller number 4 at 641-1010. 10-10. Carolina has scored 2-1 Boston with under 5 minutes to go in the second period. That is a foghorn for the team. We do not want getting the foghorn. Also, Golden State up 34-27 early on in the second quarter. You know, I was looking at things a little bit earlier today. Do you realize that in games that Steph Curry plays and Kevin Durant does not, Golden State is 30-4 straight up, 20-11-3 against the spread. Games that Durant plays without Curry, they are 28-18 straight up and 18-28 against the spread. So, you know, sharps look at stuff like this. You could play money line for Golden State to win it outright. And again, they're 30-4 with Curry playing and Durant out. They're 20-11 with three pushes against the spread. There obviously won't be a push in this game tonight because it's 7.5 unless you bet it up or down. But those are some pretty interesting numbers. So saw that a little bit earlier today. If you're considering, you know, getting in a half point, you know, half court line or something like that. It is still a possibility. Hey, Urban Meyer is going to be on the Fox show this year, pre and post, halftime, I guess. It looks like Fox is really making a serious run to get after ESPN, and they're going to put their premier game on at noon. That was announced yesterday. But there's a lot of talk about Urban Meyer in USC that's dealing with, you know, the possibility of the NCAA coming in. I can see that being a deterrent for Urban Meyer, but I am absolutely one of those who believes that there's no way that this man is done. It's just a matter of time. But the question becomes where? And Urban Meyer is a guy who can pick his job. Okay, I remember doing an interview with the legendary Red Auerbach when I was talking to him about Phil Jackson, and a comment that Red Auerbach made was that Phil picks his job. Phil picked his job in Chicago. He picked his job in L.A. I think a lot of people to this day consider Phil Jackson one of the greatest coaches of all time. Others would have liked to have seen him go to a place like the New York Knicks, see if he could have won there where he played. You know, he went, he had stars with Michael and Scottie Pippen, and then he had stars with Kobe and Shaq. So it gets a star Urban Meyer. Okay, USC, sure. Again, NCAA, we'll see. Who else? Where else? Where is there another great football job that is on the cusp of opening? Obviously, Florida State comes to mind. I don't think right now Florida State can afford to fire Willie Taggart, even if it's an abomination this year, which for the record, I don't think that is going to be the case. I don't think it's going to be a 5-7 year in Tallahassee. I think an 8-4 and 9-3 season is probably where they're headed. And that'll show room for growth. And, you know, just saying that sucks because Florida State should be relevant every year. But I honestly believe that. If I was making a bet right now on Florida State and I went to the window in Vegas, I'd say 8-4 and 9-3. They can't afford to fire him right now. So that's not going to happen. Where else? I mean, every year we hear Auburn. Do you see Urban Meyer in Auburn? Okay? I really don't. So I almost believe that it's USC or it's nothing this year for Urban Meyer. I believe he takes a year off. Then you start questioning whether or not he takes a second year off. And you got to start looking at guys who got jobs recently. You know, Chip Kelly, UCLA. Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee. How much longer does Nick Saban coach at Alabama? I think right there with Auburn, you always have to look at what's going on at LSU. They never seem to be 100% certain really with anything. I think that is, you know, a serious possibility that could be the case. But where else are you going to go at this particular time? When other coaches on that obligatory hot seat, now things can change around pretty quickly. I mean, if Scott Frost has another real bad year, but I just don't see Urban Meyer going to Lincoln, Nebraska. I just don't. To me, it's would Brian Kelly ever get back into a situation where he's on the hot seat like he was 2 years ago? Could Brian Kelly ever be considered maybe an NFL coach? I'm not sure. Something else that I think is a real possibility would be for Urban Meyer to get away and maybe take a lesser school to really prove that he's the greatest or one of the greatest coaches of his era. Could he go to, like, let's say, an Arizona State if it doesn't work out for Herm Edwards a couple of years down the road? Now, Mario Cristobal just got Chris Steele today. The transfer leaving Florida. He's got his whole offensive line back. I think Oregon is in a plum situation where they're going to grow and grow and grow. But who knows? Maybe a guy like that ends up being a guy like Willie Taggart and gets a job offer at a better school or maybe even the NFL. He's got some NFL ties. I think a lot of these situations you have to look at, will a job be created because another coach gets an opportunity with another job? But to me, that's going to be fascinating because I don't think it's ever going to go away. I'm still surprised he left Ohio State. I think the 3-game suspension affected him, but he had everything right there. He was beating Jim Harbaugh. He had consistently one of the top 4 teams in all of college football. It's still a surprise that he ended up leaving that program. Now, say what you want about Urban Meyer, but I think the sport is better with him in it. And at least that's my opinion.
Now, the 2-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings have you covered from head to toe and especially stomach. Order your office event or tailgate catering today online at moescateringfl.com.
All right, Denny Thompson is here. It's time for the Sports Den.
What's going on, Rick?
Good night, man. New Orleans. Are you a hoopster? I know you're a Saints fan.
I am a Saints fan, but
you a Pelicans fan?
No, they weren't there when I lived out there, so.
Not now with Zion going there?
Oh, that's crazy though.
Yeah, it is.
Does it make Anthony Davis reconsider?
I think so. Why not?
I mean, you have to, right?
Yeah.
Give him a max contract and make more money there, and
yeah.
It's gonna be interesting.
It really is.
That NBA can change in the blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
I know Hicken's upset.
It's all right. Screw his Knicks.
I mean, the man had a party to watch a draft order.
Yeah, and I really thought New York was going to get it. I was talking about it at the beginning part of the show tonight. They were one of three teams that had a 14% chance, but it just I thought something was going to be in the air in New York. And just imagine if they do get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, if they had Zion Williamson coming in as well.
Yeah, well, the rumor was that even if they got it, they were going to trade that number one pick and get it to the Pelicans for Anthony Davis. So, yeah, the whole thing's interesting. You definitely can't say that it was rigged, because if it was rigged, it would have been L.A. or New York, right?
Yes, or Chicago.
Or Chicago.
It certainly would have been New York, because New York, they have not been relevant forever.
No.
I mean, I was thinking about this earlier, honestly.
Since Latrell Sprewell.
New York's got two teams in every sport.
Mm-hmm.
This is the least star power that New York City has been in our lifetime.
Yeah.
I mean, Derek Jeter is gone. Mariano Rivera is gone. A-Rod is gone. Who do they got right now? I mean, Barkley's great. OBJ's gone.
Yeah,
you can't still hang it on Eli Manning this point in his life.
Right,
Aaron Judge, yeah, but he's kind of an all-or-nothing guy. The guy struck out almost 200 times last year. He's hurt.
Completely an all-or-nothing guy.
Yeah. They don't have it in hockey. They don't have it in the NBA. They don't have it in, you know, the Mets have a couple of good young arms.
Mm-hmm. That they'll trade away.
Schneidergaard and DeGrom, but yeah.
They'll trade him away. Just give him time.
No, Zion there could have really been something.
Yeah, it's funny because you were talking about college football's better with Urban. Every sport's better when New York is good. I mean, every sport. It's just those fans are unique. We can put it that way.
Yeah.
But it's all good. But you know what we're going to get into tonight? Just two things. One, I'm kind of sensing this whole thing of, you know how when somebody's gone, they instantly become a lot better than what they actually were?
Yeah.
Kind of sensing that with Telvin already in this area.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, man, are we really, like, from a playing field perspective, going to miss him that much? And if you listen and you look on social media, you would think the guy was one of the best linebackers in the league last year.
Mm-hmm.
That, and we're going to get a lot into this whole, is the NCAA going to let these guys profit from their likeness? And what does that actually mean? I don't think people really understand what that means and how far-reaching that can get. So we're going to get into both of those things.
All right, sounds good. It's coming up right now. That is with Denny Thompson and James Coleman. Tomorrow night, a deep look at the PGA Championship. A lot of that coming up tomorrow night. A couple of guests will join us, including the Philly Godfather, to look at things from a handicap perspective. And, boy, what a great event. It all begins on Thursday, Bethpage Black. Remember, the last time that Tiger won the Masters and then didn't play in another event after the fact, it was the year that he won at Bethpage Black. Actually, that's not right. Check that. 2002, because that event would have been played in June of that year. Tiger didn't take a month and a half off, so that is incorrect. So anyway, scratch that. But Tiger Woods has taken 5 weeks off between the Masters and Bethpage Black this year, which is really kind of rare. But we'll see how he comes out and how things will look for him. So plenty of that coming up on tomorrow night's show as well. For producer Matt LaVey, my name's Rick Ballew. We're back tomorrow night, our normal time. That'll be 7 until 9 o'clock right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.